This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Warning. Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor, saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, you may notice that it is just me talking to you this episode. Olivia was a little overwhelmed with schoolwork since we were off Mother's Day. Speaking of which, hope it was a wonderful Mother's Day and all of you got to spend time with your families. And shout out to all the moms who listen and are part of our amazing Facebook group. We love having you, so just hope it was a day that you were celebrated and spoiled and just, again, kind of showered with affection and love and stuff like that. But we were off for that holiday so that we could spend time with family, and the last thing that I wanted to do was not put out an episode at all this week. So we are doing a short on time with just me. We're going to dive into a really interesting case. I'm super excited to share it with y'all. Before I do, though, I put this in the Facebook group. So if you're a member of our online community, you may have seen this, but I have to tell y'all, there is a show. If you have not seen it, please watch it. It's on Paramount Plus. It's called Happy Face. This is not a paid ad, anything like that. But I started watching the first episode and, I mean, got hooked super hard. I binged all 8-hour-long episodes in like a day and a half. So really got to me. It is loosely based on the true story of Keith Jesperson, who was an American serial killer. He was born in Canada, grew up here in the States, truck driver who was, you know, killing women on his route. But it really focuses on his relationship with his adult daughter and her coming to terms. Her name is Melissa, kind of coming to terms with, you know, what her father has done and, you know, what piece of her father lives inside her and things like that. And obviously it's a story, right? They take the true events and they have to make it into, you know, something that's fit for watching on television, but it is really interesting. It's grounded in a lot of reality. It's kind of set me on a wormhole. Like, I've been listening to podcasts and watching A&E shows and all sorts of stuff. So I say that to say, if you have time, check it out. It's a great recommendation. I really liked it. I would love to hear what you thought about it. But with that being said, I hope y'all are doing well. Again, for our moms out there, I hope it was a great holiday. We'll go ahead and quit it with the Gabby Gabby, jump into the Stabby Stabby. This week, we are headed to Palo Alto, California, In 1982, 15-year-old Karen Stitt was the new girl in town. Her family had just relocated from Pittsburgh, and the outgoing teenager was settling into life. She was making friends at Palo Alto High, and she had even found a boyfriend. On September 2nd, 1982, the couple was hanging out at a local 7-Eleven late at night. They were playing video games inside the convenience store. At around midnight, Karen and her boyfriend walked over towards Golfland, which was a popular putt-putt golf course. Then, at around 12:30 a.m., Karen's boyfriend dropped her off near a bus stop at the corner of El Camino Real and South Wolf Road. Now, this wasn't unusual, as Karen had become really familiar with the bus line, and she could ride it back to her father's house. So that night, she waited at the bus stop wearing her leather jacket, striped shirt, and a baseball hat that her boyfriend had given her with the band Rush on it. But sadly, Karen Stitt would never be seen alive again. The next day at around 10:45 a.m., a delivery man would find her body. She had been dumped over a 4-foot wall near the Honey Bee restaurant. She was nude, and her hands had been tied behind her back with her own clothing, her legs bound together with her jacket. The Rush baseball hat lay near her body. Karen had been sexually assaulted, and the 15-year-old had been stabbed roughly 60 times in the chest, neck, back, and abdomen. An autopsy would later reveal that 18 of the wounds punctured her heart. Now, detectives began working the case immediately, and luckily a witness came forward. A machinist claimed to have seen a strange truck in the area on the night of the murder. It was a white, old-fashioned panel truck with a stripe along the side. According to the witness, it had been parked near where Karen's body was found. Police investigated the lead, but unfortunately, nothing turned up. And over time, the case would grow cold. But in 2021, things would change. Cold case detectives reopened Karen's case after receiving a tip claiming that Karen's killer was likely one of four brothers from Fresno, California. So using DNA evidence collected from the jacket as well as a vaginal swab, investigators began searching through a family tree. And luckily, they were finally able to identify a suspect. It was 75-year-old Gary Ramirez. Now, Gary had grown up and attended school in Fresno. And in the early 70s, he served in the U.S. Air Force before moving to the Bay and eventually to Hawaii. Detectives were able to obtain a DNA sample from one of Ramirez's children, and it was a match. The authorities would spend the next 2 months planning the arrest of Gary Ramirez. And on August 9, 2022, he was charged with murder, rape, kidnapping, and assault with a deadly weapon in connection to the death of Karen Stitt. Now, just a few days ago, on May 12th, the now 78-year-old was found guilty, and he will actually spend the rest of his life in prison. At sentencing, Karen's family were able to give victims' impact statements, telling the court that the pain never goes away, but Karen's memory lives on. So that's this week's case, y'all. Again, you know that I love these cases where so much time has passed and finally justice is served. You know, I can only imagine being Karen's family, and, you know, 15 is you're gearing up to face the rest of your life. There's a whole world of possibilities, right? What am I going to do as an adult? What friends am I going to make when I go away to school? You know, my first, you know, real relationship, right? This was her first boyfriend in the area, right? And thinking about the excitement that comes with that. And to think that this kid was just standing at the bus stop and all of it was taken away is absolutely heartbreaking. As a dad, it really does. I mean, it just cuts you deep. And even though it took, you know, 30 years, the fact that these detectives continue to work, they were relentless. And, you know, even a family member of Ramirez was willing to come forward to be like, if he did this, yes, have my DNA, he deserves to be caught. It's just absolutely remarkable. So, you know, for me, again, there's something about these cases that there's just this level of satisfaction where you've gotten away with it for so long and you're probably, you know, not even looking over your shoulder anymore. And just when you think you may be settled and you're getting away with it and you're getting close to the end of your life, somebody knocks on your door one day and you have to pay for what you did. And again, I think there's something very satisfying about that. So for me, being a dad, when we talk about deadbolt test, you know, I'm putting this case, I'm going to put it in an 8. You know, I think in the world we live now, I don't know if, you know, my 15-year-old would ever be out riding the bus like that alone. You know, I just don't think it's the same kind of world. But just putting myself in Karen's family's shoes, right, where, you know, she's supposed to come home on the bus. You know, she's supposed to get to her dad's house, and she never shows up. And then you're out and you're looking for her and your mind is racing through everything that could potentially happen. Like, as a parent, that would be so scary. And then to get that call that no parent ever wants to get, you know, it would be absolutely devastating. So for me, I'm going to put this as an 8. But as always, I want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Karen Stitt fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to get to know you, spend a little time with you. Again, we'd love to have you as part of our community. So if you are interested in joining the Facebook group, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. We got all sorts of cool stuff, stickers, coffee mugs. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those darn ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you like what we do, you want to help us keep the lights on, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, mean just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're listening to the show, you're telling people to check it out, just know we appreciate you so much. Again, it's all about that grassroots growth, that word of mouth, telling people about the podcast. That is really what helps us grow the most. So if that's what you're doing, you're telling people to check it out, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that I got for you for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to check those locks. We'll see you next week.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.